history keeps on happening all the time as Barack Hussein Obama became the 44th president of the United States, sworn to defend the U.S. Constitution, which at one time defined blacks as three-fifths of a person. As our country's 44th president, does Obama have the Formula 44 to relieve the symptoms that plague this nation?
The very funny Cameron Esposito joins us to reflect on this joyful, momentous occasion as we compare evangelist Rick Warren's predictable prayer with gay Episcopalian Bishop Gene Robinson's inclusive invocation.
Celebrities from Bono to Oprah showed up in full force, and divas like Beyonce and Aretha Franklin delivered the goods.
Aretha Franklin, sporting a gray hat with an over-the-top bedazzled bow, sang My Country Tis of Thee. While she sang Let Freedom Ring, she let out a shut up, possibly at somebody in the crowd who wouldn't stop talking. We've got the video on our site.
Plus, Jim Bennett joins us on the phone from Washington, D.C. to share with us what it was like to be there for this moment in history. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fools. Today's show is made possible by generous support of fantastic listeners like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation or buy a fabulous new t-shirt.
Your contributions make the show possible.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Feast of Fools podcast on the iTunes Music Store and never miss a delicious show.
Just type in Feast of Fools in the search bar and hit subscribe. Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org. Hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yes. What a day it has been on today. Yesterday, Barack Hussein Obama became the 44th president of the United States, swearing to preserve, protect, and defend the U.S. Constitution, a law at one time defined this country and defined blacks as three-fifths of a person. So I thought that was really, really remarkable. And I know at many times as gays and lesbians and other power minorities, we feel disenfranchised, but I think it was a really significant step in the right direction. Your thoughts, people. Cameron Esposito, Mark Fillion.
Oh,
hi.
Yes.
Welcome to the show once again, Cameron, before your trip off to places that are not America.
Can you hear that? That's the sound of my drink. I just wanted...
American whiskey.
I have a very adult-sounding drink right now. You know, sometimes you have, like, there's a straw involved, and that is, like, the kiddie table. But this, there's a clinking ice, and it's...
You're drunk with pride.
Yeah. I am drunk with pride because of Michelle Obama's outfit. She is so...
Did you like what she wore together?
I like everything she brings to the table.
I'm going to have to turn that into another t-shirt, I have to say.
Her inaugural ball.
She has good fashion taste. She is taking all the first ladies and saying, you know what? I got style. I got class.
Well, she can pull
it off.
Sensibility. She's young and she's got a good body. You know, she's
also
not Lady Bird Johnson.
Also, she could kill you. Don't you feel that way? Like, don't you just feel like...
Well, with that look on her face sometimes, she could kill you.
Oh, man, is she tough. You can just sense it. You're like, yeah, I'm wearing silk, but this silk could be used to strangle you. I could strangle you with my thighs and this silk.
I used to kind of say that she kind of has a look on her face. It's like, she looks a little bit like the Grinch when she's angry.
Yeah.
That look on her face.
I love a powerful woman in there.
Yeah. She's a powerful woman. And you know, this inauguration sort of festivities is full of divas.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrities from Bono to Oprah showed up for them. And they were out in full force. Of course, Aretha Franklin.
The best diva.
Kicked it all off, sporting an over-the-top gray hat with a bedazzled bow.
That was big.
I think that was four times the size of her head.
I think that it's because, you know, she's... God bless her little heart. She's having a hard...
She's getting wider.
Yes.
She's got a rack that would, you know, she could be attack any threat that terrorizes this country.
I really think maybe
she's a one-woman NATO, you know, she's
like, her stylist was like, we gotta offset this in some way. Well, make it bigger.
If you make the hat, if you make the hat or the hair bigger, you do make the body look smaller.
Right. Yeah.
It's also, the camera did not pan away from, like, it was a tight, when I was watching, it was a tight shot.
Well, that's what the drag queens do. You look at, like, Lady Bunny's hair, like, Lady Bunny's head is, like, enormous, you know, so she's got this big wig on and stuff like that. Mm. But I thought that hat was just, I mean, it was perfect.
Oh, she looked amazing.
It couldn't be any better.
You know, Beyoncé's stylist was just like, why didn't I think of
well,
this?
Well, that's right. A different, cold, different look. Beyoncé's a young woman.
I don't know. She can.
And Aretha's a mature
woman.
You
know, all the Aunt Esthers in the audience were just like, oh, my girl, Aretha, she was sporting it good. Hey, praise
I would
Jesus.
Love, I would love praise to have seen Jesus. Beyoncé in, like, just a leotard and then a pillbox hat. Just for the contrast. You know what I mean?
Sometimes
the contrast
is nice. A little Jackie O magic. So Aretha, what's really lighting up the whole internet right now is that Aretha Franklin, she initially kicked off by singing My Country, Tis of Thee. What? And then later on went to sing.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
My I think that's just a
you know what he said,
thee.
Right?
Yeah, I heard him. Anyway.
Never mind, go on.
Oh, did I do a what is it?
A Freudian slip?
No, it wasn't a Freudian slip. It was
a misspeak.
It was.
Yes, you did.
My country.
No, it wasn't that.
That wasn't what it was.
You were trying to say inauguration, but you said something a little different.
It was.
What did I say?
You said the N-word.
Yeah, you did. But it was slipped in the middle of an entire word.
My apologies. I did not mean to do that. So, my country, tis of thee. But when she sang, let freedom ring, she's like going, I don't even know how that song's supposed to go, but she's like saying, let freedom, freedom. Freedom. And then in the middle of the song, she looks down at somebody and goes, shut up.
And then it goes right back to singing.
Wait a minute, I actually missed that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So somebody took a little clip of it and slows it down so you can hear her saying it, because she just says it in the corner of her breath.
Who's she talking to?
We don't know. Nobody knows, but she looked at somebody in the crowd and she just shot her eyes at them.
Dick Cheney?
Maybe. It was Dick Cheney who made a misspeak, who did some similar thing.
What did he do?
He said meant to say a word and came out with a C word.
Okay. You know. I don't know.
My country, tis of thee.
Oh, he said my country?
Something like that. Okay. Something to that effect. So I thought it was interesting, and I thought that, because that's happened to me sometimes, that I've been performing, and somebody's really annoying the hell out of me, and so you're in the middle of a song, and you just snap at somebody. Shut up.
You throw
my
those...
country, tis of thee.
Shut up.
But I mean, if she's telling people to shut up, I'm just saying, today she was fighting an uphill battle. Like, it was it was the largest public event that has ever happened in the history of the universe.
Yeah, over a million people showed up at the Lincoln Memorial.
My guess is that she was wired and she was hearing this person speak in her wire.
That sounds
probably what
like it might be true.
We didn't hear it, but she
God,
heard it.
Wouldn't it be amazing if there was one person in a million that was so obnoxious? Like, just that one person was so startling.
Shut up. I love it.
You shut up. Everybody else, you're fine.
So you can go to our website, feastoffools.net, and check it out. Is she saying shut up? Some people are arguing that she didn't say that. But you can see it. You know, they slow it down. It's like the devil took over her body. It's just like, shut up.
Wonderful, Aretha.
You know, deliver me, Aretha Franklin. And then Beyonce got to sing all the Keith songs, you know, at the presidential concert last night with U2's Bono and all the other celebrities. Mm-hmm. She got to sing headline with America the Beautiful. And then at the first dance of the official inaugural ball, where Barack Obama and Michelle Obama danced for the first time, she got to sing At Last.
At Last.
Interestingly enough, the year was made popular in 1961.
The song was made popular.
The song was made popular in the year 1961 by Etta James.
She recently played.
That's
in
right.
Cadillac Records.
And it's a year where Barack Obama was born.
Oh.
So Barack Obama, the president, was born in 1961. I can see a lot of people in this country going, what have you done lately?
Well, how old was Clinton when he was elected?
I'm not sure how old Clinton was.
Was he younger, wasn't he?
But Barack Obama is the one of the fourth top four youngest presidents ever to be elected in this country, along with Mr. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something remarkable, and certainly, you know, that somebody of such an unusual background 2 years ago, nobody ever even thought that Barack Obama would become president. Mm-hmm. Also interesting is that he was sworn in by head Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, who was, you know, you could slap your dick on his face easily.
A pretty handsome guy.
They made a cute couple.
They did. They looked handsome up there together at the swearing in.
But Obama was one of the 22 senators that voted against him when he was up for consideration. Before, it was Harriet Myers, mm-hmm. who was President Bush's lapdog.
So kind of funny that it was up there. He's like, I voted against you, and here you are swearing in. I'm sure they got over it. I'm sure he was very happy to swear someone in.
I mean, that's kind of what happened. I mean, it's like anything where it's a small world. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get to the point where you're like a national political figure, you have to... You know, I mean, he was like given...
Obama
President
did
Bush
nothing but attack, Bush for the past few years. And like they rode together to there. And it's like, you know, you have to patch things up.
I thought it was interesting that they patched things up by making out and tongue kissing each other.
Is that in the director's cut?
I was like going, and they turned to the camera and says, if you could think of a better way to exchange proteins, I'd like to hear it. I thought that was a very odd thing to say when you're being inaugurated as president. But, you know, it's a new era. Mm. It's a new political day. So what do you guys think about the comparison between Rick Warren and Gene Robinson's speech? Not to be confused with Edward G. Robinson.
Jackie Robinson.
Or Jackie Robinson.
So the pro-gay and the anti-gay. What did you think of the pastors?
Rick Warren, who never said AIDS or gay and lesbian or even transgendered in his speech, and then Gene Robinson, who was very inclusive in his speech.
Well,
you have it right in front of you, girl.
Well, this is something you found on YouTube.
I do have this right in front of
me. This is somebody's comment.
I want to hear your opinion first.
Yeah, I'm going to give my opinion first. I thought Rick Warren was more charismatic than I wanted him to be. I also have a really, and this is why I have particular feelings about this person here, is because I was raised super Catholic and I'm crazy atheist now. Like I don't necessarily need to hear Jesus Christ invoked so that Barack Obama can be president. There's no direct correlation. And I understand that that's different for other people, but for me, I'm like, this person was voted on. But I did come across something very interesting on the internet.
This was from the Episcopalian Bishop Gene Robinson, who thanked the many gods or people's, because everybody has different versions of God out there,
right?
And this was a comment that you particularly liked, and I agree.
I
said this is really a wonderful comment.
I just like this comment.
And who's it from?
Laughing Music.
Laughing Music. So that's her. Laugh that's music? Her.
YouTube.
So look that chick up because she's got it going on. Because this is what she had to say.
Can you do it in her voice?
Yeah.
Imitator.
Okay.
What you think she would sound like.
This is
like.
How I think she sounds. I am also glad he said, oh God of our many understandings, because as a pagan woman, I finally feel included. I am American and my gods are Norse. I resent people praying things about me that I don't want to revere. I can respect a prayer that acknowledges that I am American and not a Christian, one that includes me and respects me.
I think that you could
that
do a whole a sitcom pilot based on this one comment.
Based
it
on
is.
Somebody whose
really
gods, because her gods are Norse.
Her gods are Norse. I can't wait to go to her funeral when she is put into a boat and set afire.
I know, but that only the most honored warriors get that.
Well,
king.
Hey, she's making YouTube comments. She's an honored warrior in my book.
And isn't the religion the kind that worship big-chested women with braids and hats with horns
on them? And they were always
the
last woman to sing at the opera.
Also big-chested men. Yes.
A big chest of Valhalla.
I like to be hit by Thor's hammer.
I wouldn't mind that.
My
too.
Gods are Norse. I just like how she just matter-of-factly says it.
Freedom, freedom, freedom!
My gods
Shut
are Norse.
Up. So I thought Rick Warren, you're right, he was very charismatic and very well spoken. I think the recording that we had on, because we had it on YouTube, was much better than the Episcopalian bishops, whose thing really didn't get picked up by most of the major news media companies. HBO didn't air it because Obama's campaign said, don't start with the prayer, start with something else later. So his GLBT inclusive stuff wasn't
went out
included.
The window.
Yes.
And that's disappointing.
It's a bummer.
Say.
That's a really big bummer because he didn't mince words. He got right to the point. I mean,
he said AIDS.
Yeah, he said AIDS. Then he said GLBT. Then he said, like, you know,
stuff
trans
that people
persons.
Need to
I
hear.
Mean, like, trans persons being brought up mm-hmm. at the inauguration, that is 2009.
I'd like to see, you know, next time he gets reelected, because Obama's going to get reelected, I want to see RuPaul turn to the country. And because when Barack Obama finally got to speak mm-hmm. and he turned to the country, his speech could be best paraphrased to quote RuPaul, mm-hmm. America, you better work.
So instead of quoting Martin Luther King
or a raisin in the sun, what happens to a dream deferred?
Well, this dries up like a raisin. He quotes RuPaul.
Essentially, he was quoting RuPaul. And I thought that was trans inclusiveness.
That is.
That is sort of. Well, did you guys feel like there were any like sound bites or liftable quotes? I'm sure that if we look back on it, we could find them.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done enough research to pull them out,
it was kind of a depressing, sobering kind
of speech. Well, I feel like anytime Barack speaks, like he is, yeah, and I can call him Barack.
Go ahead.
Barry.
Just call him by his name.
No, but I mean, he's very charismatic. Hussein. He has mm-hmm. a lot of great things to say, but I never feel like there's like a moment when he pauses and is like, and well, here's the message. Like there's a colon, you know, like, and the message is
that,
colon this.
Because, you know, part of the problem with sound bites is that they keep people from analyzing the message and the news for themselves.
That's
and
a
I
good
think,
point.
And, you know, if you think in bumper stickers, you're not actually thinking.
No.
You're just like slapping a sticker on it.
But do you think there's also a need for a rallying cry?
I mean, I don't think so. I think this country.
You better. He said it. You better work.
That's your cry. And, you know, I think he
cracked the whip.
He used a cliche personal responsibility, which sort of means like, you know, don't blame me. Things go wrong.
He also kind of has to say that as a.
I think so.
Black man. And I'm not, but like, don't you think that he's in that weird position of having to be like.
Well, I think he's speaking to everybody. And, you know,
I know he's speaking to everybody, but.
In the last 6 months, Cameron, one out of 10 Americans have lost their jobs.
One out of 10?
One out of 10 Americans in the last 6 months have lost their jobs. Wow. And that's pretty dark, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is, we are facing challenges that this nation has never faced since the 1930s. And so. Barack Obama has to really get people energized and excited. And I think that today was definitely exciting and energizing. Mm-hmm. And we have to look forward and we have to get, you know, put a smile on our face.
Well, it's time to start playing You Better Work Again.
Mm. I think so. That you know, bring Supermodel. Back RuPaul, where are you?
She's got a TV show.
Oh, she's got it. Yeah, she's
on an unnamed station. But
on another cable
station.
I wonder
if you can buy it on iTunes yet.
You probably will be able to buy it on iTunes. It's RuPaul's Drag Race where she, you know, sits there and judges people.
I think it looks good.
That sounds
it actually looks promising. So I'm hoping to be able to watch it.
But you know, it's so I'm so glad we got this inauguration kind of like, and a part of me says like I'm glad it's out of the way because we've been so looking forward to it. And I was watching Oprah yesterday because you know she taped some shows at the Kennedy Center, right?
Yeah.
And she got out there and she talked about how you know Barack Obama has fulfilled the you know the dream of MLK.
Martin
Luther King Jr.
The great Martin Luther King Jr. The Reverend.
I don't know if Obama has fulfilled it, but he's certainly added, he's contributed majorly to that dream. I think that we still have some roads to go down and things to fix and stuff like that. And so I thought, well, this is going to be a very inspirational show from Oprah and stuff. And so I was very excited. I was at the gym. I was going to watch it. And then her first.
But!
And so then her first.
But!
You don't need a butt.
I want to just prepare people for the butt.
No, okay. I'm sure they probably already know. I was just surprised when her first guest came out, and it was Debbie Moore and Ashton Kutcher. I thought, who are pledging service to America. And I just thought to myself, what the fuck?
Ashton Kutcher is very politically active. And Debbie Moore has, as a celebrity, mm-hmm. she has spoken out.
I wanted a little soul.
They have
I wanted
soul.
Soul.
They have not looks the, and soul. I disagree
not,
with you.
Not the soul I wanted.
What did you? You want like a human interest? Like
yeah,
somebody
some
working
human
for
interest,
the people.
You want somebody
for the
ugly.
People, something that was
you
doing
want,
that kind
you
of
want
stuff.
Michael Moore up there.
Yeah.
Is the crazy thing about them is that they like got crazy famous, got together, and then who has ever heard from them again?
Who, Ashton Kutcher and Debbie Moore?
Yeah, like, films all the time.
No, they're not.
They're in stuff. She's busy raising
kids
and
stuff like
that.
They like executive produce stuff.
Yeah, they got money. They just sit back and like, come on, let's make some money.
So,
let's
I mean, maybe money, it's a good baby. Thing that they're and political, because what the hell else are they doing with their time? Like, seriously, what are they doing with their time?
Isn't he still punking people?
I don't think so.
He's still producing the Pumpkin
TV
show.
Oh, yes. God, that's embarrassing. I think so.
Japanese television.
That, telling Dan, going on national television and telling Dan Savage, I would never sleep with you.
Oh, and that was...
That was weird. Wasn't that weird?
That was weird.
That was kind of satisfying for me.
Was it?
Yeah. I'll let the listeners figure it out why that was.
Okay.
But I don't know. I really liked Ashton Kutcher and standing up to the bullies.
I don't know. I expected more. Anyway, that's
I thought it was very inspiring, and I know that for a lot of gays and lesbians, it is sort of disheartening when you don't hear your sexuality or sexual orientation or your struggle referenced in a very important moment as yesterday was. However, I would say that by President Obama putting Rick Warren in there and having a lot of pro gay friendly politicians in his cabinet, it's almost like Rick Warren's giving an endorsement of Barack Obama's policies, not the other way around. That where Rick Warren is sort of as a symbol for...
That's a good spin.
Conservative... It's not a spin, it's reality, Mark.
You think?
It's conservative America is giving an endorsement saying we can no longer discriminate against people of sexual orientation or against healthcare. And I've always said that we need universal health care in this country more than anything else, more than gay marriage.
I will tell you, though, as soon as he became president, which was at noon today or noon yesterday, and on the day of the inauguration, when we taped this on the day of the inauguration. And so as soon as that happened, the website of the White House changed over, and under their equal rights bar, it has GLBT rights and all the things that they support, one of which is civil unions. It doesn't say marriage, but it does say civil unions.
And that's okay with me, actually.
It's okay with me, too.
I personally don't think that's as important as universal health care. And because if you really, as we've talked in yesterday's show, to fight HIV and AIDS is really a mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in this country don't have access to adequate health care, including mental health care. And if we actually had access to that, then we could start combating a lot of these diseases that plague us.
You know, I guess what my issue with that is that, like, universal healthcare is the more important issue, but it's also the much harder issue. And so what fries my brain a little bit about this is that for gay and lesbians to be married, it's just somebody has to say that they can get married. There's no restructuring
works.
Of an entire system and doctors and, you know, how things are paid and HMOs and hospitals. And it's just yes or no. You know, I mean, and I know that would also be reflected in people's
it is an easy
you know,
thing.
Benefits
You're exactly
and stuff.
Right.
But right now, so many corporations already offer partner benefits. So what's wild is that I agree with you. The healthcare is the more important issue. But the easier issue is the marriage issue. And it's crazy to me in this day and age that it's a yes or no issue. And we're still wondering, can we just say yes? Can we just make this?
Well, Cameron, do you want to get married?
I would love to get married.
You would? Who would you like to get married to?
She's not going to commit.
Well, I mean, you know, this is an issue that's going on right now in my life because my girlfriend had to leave the country because she's not an American citizen. And if I could marry her and change her legal status, you know, that would just be another thing that I could think
if
about.
You
that's at least
marry
that's
her,
not
would
sure.
Would you marry her?
I mean,
say yes, because she's listening.
We're young. We're really young. I don't know that I'd marry her tomorrow.
Right.
But I mean, I think that would be something that would change the way that the rest of our relationship would work. If that was like, okay, so, you know, we're not committing because I want you to have legal status here. But if we do decide to get married, then that's one less thing we have to worry about. I mean, we can still be together after we're married. We don't just have to like get married and then you also have to
go back
home and get a visa. I don't know.
Well, I think maybe part of the problem that we're looking at here is that we're trying to compare one struggle with another and say which one is more important. Maybe it's also important to say that all struggles are equally important.
Yes.
And that we can work. Mm-hmm. We can, unlike John McCain, we can do more than one thing at a time.
And what did Obama say in his speech? He's like, look, we can make big plans and we can do it.
He did say that. And I thought take care
of big plans.
I thought that was the best part of the speech.
I think he was talking about universal
health. And I also appreciate that he referenced many different kind of religions, including non-believers.
And thank God he brought up Muslims. I mean, because of how people...
Well, with
people,
a middle name like Hussein.
But I mean, because of how people were reacting to him the whole time and how, you know, crazy, inflamed people were about the fact that
And there's a lot of Muslims.
We're going to become a Muslim
here,
issue.
Know?
I mean, we're going to become
Hindus
a Muslim.
Or Hindus or whatever. There's
country.
Lots of different
maybe
people.
We can explain to the listeners, why is it important for this country to embrace its Muslim Americans as opposed to scapegoating them?
Well, I mean, it's a civil rights issue, I think. I mean, people mm-hmm. should be able to believe what they believe. This is already what they believe. We're just giving them the right to believe that. And then on top of that, creating enemies and turning people against each other is that never proves to be the right answer. It's never a problem solver.
Yeah, and especially with this country, you're supposed to have separation of church and state. And so when you have everybody being all Christian, it's very easy for them to kind of take over the country and to dominate other people's rights. And when you have other kinds of religions out there and other voices being heard and things practiced, then maybe their stranglehold isn't so tight. And
hence,
that's a good thing.
Hence why Rick Warren is more of an endorsement on Obama's policies than an influencer.
Right.
I'm sorry, a person that creates policy and influences the end result.
Right.
And so I think that it's actually very optimistic and a day of literally of hope and renewal. Meanwhile, exiting the White House is Dick Cheney in a wheelchair.
Oh, my goodness.
He was in a wheelchair. Why? Because somebody...
Well, because they thought he would look more evil that way.
Yes. He did. He did look more evil. He did
he
look
like FDR?
Well, I thought that the furry white cat and the clawed hand petting it was, and the eye patch was a little too much, but the wheelchair was sort of within the realm of the possible. And I guess the rumor was that he threw out his back. And so the only way for him to attend the festivities was to do it in a wheelchair.
But as a visual image and talking about this guy who's really a symbol for like everything that's been wrong with mm-hmm. the current administration. This like, you know, he's so Fausto's making like
bitter,
a snaggle-toothy face
yeah,
right
like,
now.
Argh.
And he's so fierce and bitter. And then to have this person
in a wheelchair,
like, humbled in that way mm-hmm. on this same
like,
day.
Cause you could just go over and push him over.
Not that I would ever wish that on anybody, but it was kind of like poetic justice for this person to leave, you know, at the top of their power, and then they have to.
There's something very emotionally satisfying, especially like, you know, my relationship with my father wasn't always warm and friendly and loving. And so to see my father in a wheelchair and pushing him around, there was something, a certain sense of karmic
power that you had over him.
Well, karmic justice in a way. And it was like, you know,
people get old and they get fragile.
I know.
And that's what happens.
And there was a situation.
And he's lucky to be alive.
This person that you, that sort of like tormented you in the past or created hard feelings now is in a wheelchair and you,
it's like when you break
fragile.
Up, it's like when you break up with somebody and they get fat and you look good. Right. And they start dating ugly people and you're just like, you're fat. And you're dating ugly people.
Well, the Bush daughters, Jenna and Babs, mm-hmm. or Barbara Bush, wrote a letter, a very public letter, to the Obama girls, Malia and Sasha, giving them some advice. Basically saying, like, this drug's hitting on the bookshelf, or good place to smoke a joint, this is a good place to drink. No, they said, this is a quote here. Actually, I'd rather have a Cameron read it in a sort of Valley Girl sort of way. Just read that quote on the top there. Getting into trouble. Oh my God.
Slide down the banister of the solarium. Go to t-ball games. Have swimming parties and play sardines on the White House lawn. What is sardines?
It's a game where you try to get as many kids into a tight, small space. So it doesn't make any sense to play
on
sardines.
On the White House lawn?
I know. I think they mean like
how
in a shed.
How many friends do they have?
They have a lot of friends. Sardines is when you like try to squeeze telephone
right,
booth.
Right. We had this one game of sardines on the White House lawn. We had 10,000 of our best friends there. We could only fit 9,000. The other 1,000 had to wait outside. Have fun and enjoy your childhood in such a magical place to live and play. This sounds like they're describing Disney World.
Mm-hmm. It is Disney World in a sense with better food.
That's right.
The White House is just like paradise, only much, much better.
I mean, gosh, I hope it's not like Disney World because when you look really closely at Disney World, it's kind of crappy. Like it looks nice.
Don't say that. We have lots of people that listen to the show that work at Disney.
I love Disneyland. I'm a fan of Disneyland, not Disney World.
I'm not saying I don't. Like, I love this place, and I've been there many, many times. But the closer you get, you're like, oh, there's lots of cracks in this giant King Stefan's castle. Oh, it's a little bit dirty here by the baseboards. You know, it's not...
I think Captain Jack is drunk.
Yeah,
for real.
That's right. But I mean, it's a great place when you're a kid. As you grow older, you're like, oh, there are some flaws to this magical mystery.
You catch it.
Well, I think it's nice, Disneyland, and you know, hopefully Malia and Sasha grow up to be fabulous women in the White House, and certainly.
Do they teach them how to sneak booze into the room?
Did I just make enemies with Disney?
I think you did.
That's really powerful.
That's a bad.
I'm
as
never
a lesbian,
gonna make it.
You're never
I'm never gonna,
gonna
make it.
It. Now's the time to apologize to Disney.
Apologize. Throw yourself
Disney,
on Mickey's
listen,
throne.
Listen, I can sing all of your songs.
You can.
Sing
one
I can of sing them. Almost.
Really?
Freedom!
Shut up!
Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm a girl who has
shut
everything?
Up.
Come on, you don't know what that's
called. You gotta end everything with shut up.
Look at this stuff. Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold?
I have no idea what you're singing.
Looking around here, you'd think, sure, she's got everything. I got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I got who's it's and what's
Mark,
it's going
on.
You want thingamabobs? I got 20, but who cares? No
big
deal.
Are you talking about your dildo collection?
I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see them dancing. Strolling along in the... Really?
I'm guessing the mermaid. Then.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know what? I'm going to confess, and you can't take my gay card away because I fought very hard for it, but I have never seen The Little Mermaid, ever.
Okay, well...
Do you know who composed that?
I guess I know who Disney's against now.
Do you know who composed that?
Just,
who?
What?
Do you know the composer of the song?
No.
He died from AIDS.
Oh, he did?
Howard Ashman.
Oh.
That's really... impressive that you know that.
I know.
Not that he died from AIDS. That's horrifying. But that you know
Alan
that is
Menken and Howard Ash. Alan wrote the lyrics. Howard.
And wasn't the witch based on Divine?
The witch was based on Divine. Yes.
Wow.
Shut up, really? Because it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Look at her.
Ursula.
Ursula. Yeah, I'm going to have to see that
what
one.
What a bummer
days.
That she's not a lovable character who ushers you into bars. But instead, like, wants to steal your voice and your man.
I have a warm, happy feeling from today's inauguration.
It's not the codeine I gave you?
Maybe that's why. Maybe
codeine.
So. You know, on a sadder note, the guy Mahmoud Agyun?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pronounce his name, Mark?
Mahmoud Agyun.
He's the guy who created the donor fabulous donor kebab, a popular sandwich of Middle Eastern descent. In Germany, died today.
See, you were saying that this was a very German thing, and I think maybe because I lived in Germany for a while.
I lived in Germany,
and that's why
too.
I liked it. But I thought you could get doner kebabs here. Don't
I think you can, yeah.
They're called gyros here.
No, but they're doner kebabs
or
something different.
No, I've heard them referred to as that.
See, in Germany, when you get a doner kebab, you get some fresh cabbage and mint or cilantro leaves on it, and lots of other good stuff. Mm-hmm. In the United States, when you get a gyro, you basically get the same thing, only with lettuce and tomatoes and a watery tahini sauce.
Or yogurt sauce.
Or yogurt sauce.
And they say he invented the yogurt sauce, too. But you know what? With gyros, they always make me burp so bad, you know? And it's like indigestion like crazy.
I lived on them in Germany. And in Germany, they like sometimes serve them with a mango chutney or other really good stuff.
You guys have both lived in Germany.
I lived in Germany for a month.
I lived there for a year and a half.
And I was the perfect American tourist. I never learned a damn word. And I kept walking
around.
But
did you go to dance clubs?
I did.
Is that what you think they do in Germany? They go to dance clubs?
They don't.
They go to the disco.
I was living in East Berlin like several years, not very shortly after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Mm. And it was like living in Lakeview after everybody started investing money into it. So there's construction everywhere.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And everybody's just like, it was like a buzzing electric city.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
I did go to dance clubs today, and I lived in a small town, but they still had a disco. Only 26,000 they did. And, you know, I remember being in the disco once, and you could smoke pot in there, like, if you were cool about it, like, you hit a little bit. And so we smoked hashish one night. But one night, do you remember that song, like, What's Going On by Four Non Blondes or Concrete Blonde? What was it?
No, Four Non Blondes, yes.
Four Non Blondes, okay. They played that, Germans loved that song so much.
Well, Germans and I agree on one thing, and that's that.
What's going on?
They played that song three times in one night. I was just like... I couldn't believe it.
God, I do cry so hard when I'm Linda Perry,
Who sings it and composed it, and she's an openly lesbian pop music
That's
icon.
That's why you like her.
Oh, I didn't even
What's
know that.
What's going on?
That was, she also I was young wrote when that the, song came out. So.
She also wrote the song You're Beautiful. No
my,
matter
my
what
point
they say,
being that,
by
like,
Christina Aguilera.
Right.
I wasn't aware that I was gay yet, so that song knew I was gay.
That
but
song
I
did
didn't.
Know you were
the
gay.
The song found the gay inside you and made it vibrate a little.
Yeah. You were young then. I forget how young you are.
She was a baby.
She was a little baby.
And I said, gay,
I bet you they probably
gay,
still
gay,
play that song in that disco, though.
What? Shit.
They probably still play that song in that disco.
I love that
probably.
Song. That song is amazing.
Cameron, look what we got in the mail today.
We got all sorts of fabulous things in the mail. Should we open the big, important one, or should we save that for last?
We'll save that
I have to say that.
Well, I think this is big and
it's
important,
It's been
too.
Pretty amazing, because the whole time we've been sitting here talking about the inauguration of the first black president, and what you guys don't know is that directly next to me on
King
the table,
Day was the other day.
There is an open calendar
I forgot
of
about
naked
this.
Black men with
schlongs,
they have penises.
Hard
penises.
Big cocks
and,
whipping out at
Flavor
Cameron.
Flavor Man.
Is this signed? Like, is
it's
this,
signed. I think it's signed by some of the guys from it. I don't know if it's from the calendar.
Oh, it's shocking.
We got this from Beverly Batchy, who's a fetish model. You can visit her website at beverlybatchyfetish.blogspot.com. And it's with one C
in Batchy.
It's
easy to spell out.
Yes.
One C in Batchy.
Even though
to
her
Fausto
real name,
and Mark from...
Yes. So with sign with the
not good penmanship.
But she also gave us a nice donation too. So thank you very much, Beverly.
Beverly's
we really
birthday
it.
Is February 1st. Turns 30. Wonderful.
Wow. And
good
I'm
for you.
My birthday is the next day, February 2nd. Groundhog's Day. Does it say Groundhog's Day there? It does. You know what's funny too is like. They have on the days of it's the full moon, they have a picture of a butt, but then they have a little, like, it's not just a picture of a butt, but most of the body is like, what would you say?
Hazy.
Grayed out,
yeah,
hazed out.
Yeah.
But then there's like a little circle
like
where
it's
the
really
butt
zeroed
is.
In. Yeah.
It's zeroed
they're trying
in
to say that the butt is like a moon and it's a full moon. Only the only thing is that a lot of these guys are of color, so it's more like a dark moon.
Yes.
The dark side of the moon.
But also very full. Let me say, these men have some butts.
So, and they have some nice
looking
man.
That
look
guy's
at this
really
guy.
Hot.
Well, she went to the AVN Awards or something, Adult Videos Awards,
and,
or the Fetish Convention in Las Vegas this year. So she brought some stuff.
This is
back.
What this guy's. That's what his name is.
That's what
his name is. Freakzilla, dude.
His Freakzilla.
Because he'll get his Freakzilla on
holy
you.
Holy mackerel!
I
holy
know.
Holy mackerel!
And then,
wow,
and then we
just,
got a.
We also got a
panda hat.
A panda hat, an adorable panda hat.
And
we
that's
got
from
this
Elise.
From Elise, and so she wrote and said that she could only afford to send one panda hat. But, you know, what did you say? That's not going to stop her.
No, do it anyway.
Do it anyway.
This terrible economy. She wanted to send enough panda hats for
everyone.
Cameron, for me, for Mark, for everybody. And she only was able to send one, so we have to share.
And I love it though. I might wear this to the Chinese New Year that's just down the street when they have that celebration.
You should.
And I'm gonna have my picture taken with children, but I'm gonna have a little knife, a fake knife. I'm gonna be holding it to their heads. So yeah, so she wrote to say, see, I a lovely little letter that said, due to the current economic status, I can only afford to send you one, and that she loves us, and she mentions us to her friends, or she mentions some of the strange things we talk about to the show. Her friends and her friends are like, "How do you know that?" And she goes, "I listen to the Feast of Fools."
That's right, because you learn all sorts of strange, wonderful things
stuff.
On the Feast of
yes.
Fools podcast.
And she's very excited for Barack Obama, and that what she says, he was in Indonesia for 4 years, which was her home country.
That's not wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I didn't know Barack lived in Indonesia.
Oh, yeah.
Is he even American?
Well, that's actually a question that people were debating.
You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's like, if he can be a president, I want to be president too. What's that?
It's a big box. What do you think
something?
This sounds like?
Sounds like success.
It sounds like, yes.
Is it success?
I think it is success.
Hey, Mark, go ahead. You can do the honors of opening the box.
Oh, well, I picked it up at the thing. I'm going to open it because the thing is, though, you're really slow at opening boxes and stuff like that. You take a long
time. Mark, you were like a 10-year-old boy at a birthday party, at his brother's birthday party. Even if the kids got somebody else got a present, you have to open it.
Boy, Mark's muscles are really flexing.
I need
flexing.
Scissors. You got scissors?
It's pretty.
Let me help you.
That's
yeah,
good.
It's Todd Cochran. Just really just tighten this thing up.
So by that name, you know that it's the People's Choice Podcast Awards, the third one.
Yay.
Ooh. All right.
Here, you can open up the envelope.
And
oh my gosh. This one comes in a fabulous faux wood box.
Woo-wee.
The other ones didn't come in
faux
wood.
No, they did not. And lots of popcorn, which you can play with them.
Wow.
Let's open it up. Da-da-da-da! Mark's seeing it for the very first time live on the show.
And then it's in paper, and then in plastic.
And it looks exactly like the other ones.
2008 Podcast Awards GLBT Feast of Fools.
Only it's not scratched.
Congratulations. Kisses to you, sweetheart.
Love you. Love to all the listeners and sponsors of the show. The people who donate money, the people who spend time on the site posting comments, the people who voted, mm-hmm. the people who tell their friends about it, those who blog, and even those who write reviews on the iTunes, especially those who write reviews on the iTunes Music Store. And let me read you one most recent that comes from one of our listeners. And you can go to tinyurl.com/feastoffools to write a review. This is by DJ Hammer 506. Hilarious, but down to earth. Feast of Fools touches on very serious issues in the GLBT community. Great show. Very recommended for anyone and everyone. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm. That is nice. That's a great thing to say.
So it was a letter that says, Dear Podcast Award Winner.
Aloha. First of all, big apologies for not getting these trophies in the mail to you and so on. Could be up with reasons why you didn't get it in the mail. But I want to congratulate you on your accomplishment, and I'm sure we'll see a number of you in the hunt to win your category in 2009.
Oh, we're taking it. We're taking it.
You guys are...
powerhouses.
You're better than Kate Winslet. One of you could stand there and hold two awards. Do you remember when she was at the Golden Globes?
I am touching it right now. Ooh, I love the smell of new awards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Does it smell like money? Does it smell like microphones?
It smells like a swimming pool in Los Angeles right now. Oh. Doesn't that sound good? It's so snowy and cold.
I know. I was talking to my mother today, and she's down in Georgia, and she's like, it's warm and nice. Come down and visit.
I love Chicago. Right now is the last place I want to be.
It's also like at the point with the snow outside where it's so cold that the snow won't melt, but it's like real dirty. Do you know what I mean? Like when you get to that point,
it's like March weather dirt.
There is dog pee on every morsel of snow. But the snow will not melt.
You can't eat the snow.
So you just have to look at it and just shake your head.
This is so nice. Now we have one for everybody. Everybody gets their own Feast of Fools podcast awards.
Everybody. We have
the best thing about it is these bases are really hard and you can make tostones with them.
You can.
What if you needed to bludgeon somebody?
You could kill somebody. Okay. You could kill somebody.
I have other objects for that though.
Oh, I didn't know if you had a specific bludgeoning device.
Yeah, I do. I have like the meat pounder. That's really good for that. Also, the baseball bat, the lead pipe, the what else do I have?
Conservatory, Colonel Mustard.
What are you reading?
I have to say, I'm like a little bit of a scared person generally, and I do sleep with a knife in my bedside
drawer.
No, you
don't.
I do. Yeah.
You do? Really?
Like a creepy knife that used to be my grandfather's.
What are you gonna do when somebody breaks into your house and they're about to attack you? Are you gonna pull the knife out?
I'm gonna knife them. No, actually, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna hide under a bunch of pillows. And I'm going to pretend I'm not there. No, I also lock myself into my bedroom.
You do?
I do that too sometimes.
Is that weird? I think it's a little bit weird.
Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and thought there was somebody in your bedroom?
Do I wake up every night and think there's somebody in my bedroom?
Is there somebody in your bedroom?
Sometimes.
Careful, your girlfriend might be listening.
Sometimes.
And she's in South Africa.
Oh, she has to sleep. Yeah, she has to protect me when she's here. She's littler than me. She's littler than me, but for some reason that's her job.
I thought that one time I thought there was like a homeless old woman in my bedroom.
And you started screaming.
Wait, why did you think that?
I don't know. I just started thinking like, you know, like some, like a bum was, had crawled into the house because there it was cold outside and I'm like screaming, get out, get out. And
no,
I'm starting throwing my pillows at him.
No, for me, it's always like noises. It's noises. And then I immediately, my brain cuts to like a preview of a scary movie where I'm like, in a world where Cameron was sleeping in bed, someone jumped in the window and tried to kill her. Like it always goes that direction. Shit.
So you guys always wonder if what happens when a guest spills a drink, Cameron just spilled it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's just okay.
Like guests are always like, what do I do with my cup? Because they're like, they see all
put
the
it
like
as close to
like,
you as possible.
And they're like,
I'm sorry, guys.
I'll freshen that up for you.
We'll freshen that
now,
up
you're
for
you're
you.
Traveling, right? You're going to be going overseas. So where are you going to be going to?
South Africa.
But first,
I'm going to the UK.
Which is also known as United Kingdom.
That's right.
Or just England.
Yeah, I'm going to England. England. Only England. I'm not going to.
You're not going to Wales.
The UK. No, yeah.
To the Canary
no,
Islands.
North Island. That's Spain, I think. Isn't it?
I thought the Canary Islands were part of the UK.
I'm pretty sure that's
Spanish. Because I know that the Beatles like to vacation
British,
there.
The British like to go there because it's just a hop, skip, and jump.
And I think John Lennon almost drowned there, or was it Paul McCartney?
Did you know canaries actually come from the Canary Islands?
Get out of here.
That is too much.
You learn all sorts of things
that.
On the Feast of Fools.
That's too much.
Because most of the time you think it'd be something else, right?
Freedom, freedom, freedom! Shut up. I would be doing that for the rest of the year.
I don't think there's ever a reason to stop.
So where are you going to be? You're going to be in London.
Yes.
I am going to be in London.
What's TBC?
So I'm going to be in London on the 13th and 14th of February for sure.
And you're going to be performing out.
At a place called the Torriano.
Torriano?
Mm-hmm. What the hell is that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's supposed to be actually a great little, like a... intimate type venue.
Will you put this up on your MySpace?
This will be up. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So people can.
Or people could check out CameronEsposito.com. Okay. I'll put this up on CameronEsposito.com.
And they can check it out because this comes from a site that's called Frigging Tour. What is it?
It's called Yankin' It.
Yankin' It. And so there's no G in there.
Yeah. There's no
G. That threw me off because last time you were like, it's in Yankin' It. And I'm going to Yankin' It. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yankin' as in like Yankees.
Right. Exactly.
So it's Americans that are funny that are going over to the UK.
Because
it's hard because they have a different sense of humor over there.
Do you guys think I'm going to be a big success? What do you
think? I
think
you're going to be more popular than that guy who does The Office.
Yes, Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
And who's the gay guy that does the talk show? Graham Norton. You're going to be more popular.
Gosh, well, they're doing well for themselves.
Kathy Griffin went over there and she played a room that had like five people in it. Because they're just like, I don't know who this person is.
Yeah, it's...
So in a way, because you have low expectations, you might feel like you do better than Kathy Griffin did.
You know? But you're going to be there. You're going to be in Derby and Leicester, Grantham, Coventry. What's Coventry famous for? Is that Lady Godiva? Was she from Coventry?
I have no idea. These are all new to me.
I don't know.
And you'll be in London.
And I'll be in London.
Well, you arrive in London, then you come back to London.
Yeah, then I come back to London.
And where are you in London?
Will you wear a Derby in Derby?
The Torriano.
Just take a picture of yourself.
Yeah, the Torriano. Yeah, that's
what day? On Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's right. Come be my Valentine.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You are so lovable. Anybody would be happy. Even like guys that hate lesbians would want to fall in love with you.
I am very approachable to guys who hate lesbians. I have to say. Also, guys who are okay with lesbians. Also,
and
I work
women
with those
who
guys.
Hate lesbians. People who hate lesbians turn to you, and their hard, cold hearts get broken.
And they always sing that, like, I turn to you. And
melted,
like,
I meant to
thing.
Say. Melted, not broke. Well, maybe their hearts get broken because they fall in love with you, and then they realize they're not lesbians.
I do think I'm kind of a relatable person. And then at the last minute, like, right when I've got you, I think we're all, then I'm like... I love chicks. I say it in like my deepest, like, and I flex my like, arm muscles. And then guys are like, that's pretty okay.
That's
I'm all right with that.
But you're going to be in South Africa. You're going to get some gigs when you're there because you're going to be in South Africa for a whole month.
Yeah, I'm going to be in South Africa for
and
a whole month.
And there's no way you can contain your comedy genius.
No, I'm definitely going
to.
I'm definitely going to go up. There's a cabaret venue down there that I'm interested in, but I don't have anything firmed up right now.
Are you going to play Sun City?
That's it. Wow, look at you. No, I don't know that I'm going to play Sun City.
Is Sun City still a big deal down there?
That would remember it was in the 80s when they were asking people not to invest in South Africa, but to divest, which means to remove your investments. There was a popular song called Ain't Gonna Play Sun City. Yeah,
there were some people that wouldn't play there already at that point in time. But so I wonder if it's still popular. I think it was a big resort town, but I think it kind of crumbled.
I think it still exists. Yes. It's just not the same.
So, South African listeners, let us know, please. If you have any places,
oh gosh, right?
Where
give me some suggestions.
Cameron should play out.
Also,
let
like
us
where
know.
I should come hang out with you because lady's down there and she doesn't really know.
And Cameron, you're the kind of person that you don't have to. You're like very approachable. You're a blast to hang out with, and you never feel like you're
And except for the hair, you're low maintenance.
Yeah, I have very high maintenance hair, which looks like crap today. Because small child
rubbed
oatmeal
in it. Do you have a brush? I need to brush it right now.
Oh, it's terrible. It's really terrible. I'm having a rough. Living a rough day.
No, but you have wonderful hair. That's
even when you're on your worst day, you look like $1 million.
Oh God, that's extremely sweet.
It's true.
So very much.
And I'd be the first one to tell you look like shit.
You know, I believe that about you. Like, I know that you're an upfront
guy.
I'd be like,
oh, Cameron, what have you done to yourself? You were so beautiful once.
I am letting myself go. Yeah.
All that sweet, sweet South African cuisine. All that
fried yuca. I don't know what it is.
Like. What is it they eat? Yarrow roots. Too.
And okra.
Maybe lots of fish. I hear
they eat lots of fish.
I hear there's a lot of like
all those sushi curry and stuff fish like dishes.
Yeah, sushi, but also just like, and also my girlfriend is always referencing like types of fish that are not. She'll be like, I went out, and also, she's developed an accent. She's been down there for like a month, and she is originally South
African.
She's
from there.
But it's crazy, because I talked to her, and it's just like...
The accent's back.
Yeah, and I don't even... It doesn't
hotter
even sound
or
like
not
her.
Hotter?
She sounds really awesome, but okay. It's really singing
songs. She sounds
songy.
Like the BBC International.
I love that South African accent, because it's kind of... It's not quite like mush mouth like England.
Right.
English,
no, it's very like...
Sweet and
even the guys sound kind of effeminate because it's very like hey oh because it's like very sing-songy and
like they're being tickled
I'm
or
saying
something.
That about you
do they speak with that clicking language like
no she doesn't speak
I hope when you're down there you get to see those the little people the pygmies that have like three toes.
What are you talking about?
Are those penguins? Are you talking
about
penguins?
Move on. We're right out of time.
Are you going to go on safari? Will you see like wildebeests and things like that?
I hope to. I mean, that's
will
just kind of...
Will you eat a wildebeest?
If it's presented to me by Simba and his...
And his
ilk.
Okay, so what is happening in the news, Mark? We are running out of time.
What's happening in the news?
When I say we are running out of time, I mean it.
Let's see. What is happening?
You wanted to talk
news?
About the Great Barrier Reef.
The Great Barrier
tourism.
Reef. So there was this tourism thing somebody posted in the our community forums. It's like, would you take this job? It's like to win a dream job for like $150,000 a year, and you could work at this wonderful resort and hang out on the out the Great Barrier Reef. But it's more. Not so much as they are offering you a job as they're trying to advertising going there and stuff like that. And so the people are supposed to love the Great Barrier Reef so much that they had this one girl who was getting a tattoo of the Great Barrier Reef, you know, on her body.
How do you get a tattoo of
what
a reef?
What does that mean?
Well,
yeah.
it's like a tattoo. You can see the video of it and you can see the actual tattoo in itself. And I think it's just, you know.
Well, you could argue that any tattoo of a fish swimming in a coral reef is a tattoo of any reef.
It's
not the tattoo. The reason why it's in the news is because they faked the tattoo. The girl really didn't get the tattoo. But, you know.
I'm still waiting for one of our listeners to get a Feast of Fools tattoo.
I know.
There isn't one yet.
Not yet.
Do you want one? Do you really want one to get one?
You could
I totally
be the first
want one.
One.
Not
you
me.
Could be the first one.
I would be caught dead wearing that.
I was just excited too.
I'm just kidding.
There was a thing too for the inauguration, and there was a sign. There was like a no prostitution zone in Washington D.C.
You know who I think that is? It's hit the call button there.
Let's see what happens here. It could be a telemarketer.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, it's Jim.
Jim.
Yes.
Am I calling too late?
No, you're right
good.
On time.
We're just here ending our show, but where are you right now?
I am at the, I don't know the name of the ball, but it's the gay ball that HRC, do you know the name of the ball we're in? Hold on one moment.
The gay ball.
He calls us and he puts on us on hold.
I know.
Clever.
All Ralph for Equality, the gay one.
So, Jim, why'd you go to
the famous Mayflower Hotel?
Ooh, where the Mayflower Madam hung out.
Say it again.
Where the Mayflower Madam hung out and where Barbara Bush has been rumored to be living for the past 2.5 years.
Oh, are they having an affair? You mean the young Barbara Bush?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The Mrs. Bush, whatever her name is.
Laura.
Laura Bush.
Think of Laura.
Wow.
Laura Bush.
Don't
Laura
cry.
Bush.
Wow.
Think of Laura.
Why did you go to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration?
Well, because my God, Barack Obama is getting sworn in. So
really?
We were able to get right on the Capitol at the swearing in ceremonies. We got tickets from Jan Schakowsky, so we were in the silver section.
Woo!
We could see the Capitol, and we could imagine where the people were at the Capitol. And we were very close to a Jumbotron screen.
Did you get to see... What people want to know is, did you get to see Aretha Franklin say shut up to somebody?
I did not see Aretha Franklin tell anyone to shut up. We were making fun of her hat.
Don't make fun of it. It's a beautiful choice.
It's a gorgeous hat.
Now, did you cry?
And her voice is lost. Aretha Franklin is gone.
Oh, gosh. My heart just broke. Did you cry? at all today?
Aretha Franklin, I cried out of pity for her. She was
No, not about Aretha. Just in general. Did you cry about the inauguration?
I cried with Barack's speech. I did. I was moved.
What is it about the speech that moved you?
You know, I guess a couple things. One was I felt like he acknowledged that we have been out in this wilderness for 8 years, that there's so many people that have been excluded, and I felt like it would have been easy to give a speech just focused on the future, but he reminded us that how much we've lost over the 8 years, and I felt like he challenged people to do their part. And I also thought it was an everyday speech, because usually Barack gives these lofty speeches, and I felt this is just sort of a common sense, this is where we're at.
So you feel he's calling Americans to work?
I didn't hear that, but I'm going to say yes.
So he's paraphrasing RuPaul is what he's doing. He's telling America, you better work.
He didn't hear you, Fausto.
Yeah, I don't feel like I have to do any work personally, because I feel like I'm already doing it.
They need to heed that message of work.
Exactly.
Better work.
Black friends.
But isn't it hard to work when you're unemployed? After all, like in the last 6 months, 1 out of 10 Americans lost their jobs.
Well, the burden's first on the rich to make the jobs, and then the poor will have to take those jobs once they can get them.
No matter how bad they suck.
Right. And if you're doing work, like, already that's making a difference, such as podcasts or gay rights, then I don't feel like we have to do anything more, but we will just automatically get credit because we were already there.
You've already done it, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jim.
What was the atmosphere like, though, around the people?
It was awesome, and we were laughing because we felt like it was every white person's obligation to find a black person to hug and vice versa. And everyone was just screaming and joyous.
Wow.
Absolute best, and I know it's wrong to boo the current president, but when George Bush was introduced, the boos were so loud it was like a wave that hit you.
Wow.
People also booed Reverend Warren when he started.
Wow.
They did?
That wasn't pretty cool. That wasn't apparent. That didn't come through on the TV that he was booed.
No, I know. We were able to listen to it on TV or on radio a little bit later. And yeah, you couldn't hear that. There were a few times I feel like when the crowd, like when Obama called for sort of transparency and stuff like that, you know, I think that went well.
Yeah.
But you can hear that. And you guys, I got you a great video. Rufus Wainwright and Cyndi Lauper did a surprise duet performance, and I captured it on my little video camera, and I'm going to be sending you a little video of it tomorrow morning.
Oh, that'd wonderful. Be fabulous. What was the...
We were specifically told not to tape it, but I thought I'm part of the...
Oh, just tape it. Hey, what was your thoughts on comparing Rick Warren to Gene Robinson's speech? Or incantations, or whatever.
I thought an incantation's more like a spell that what Endora would do from Bewitched. The prayer, like, I mean, Gene Robinson's prayer, he didn't even use the word God if you listen, because he just wanted everyone to feel included in his prayer, and he also called out some of the hypocrisy of religion. And then, I mean, and I'm a Methodist or a Jew, if Bosco was answering that, but I thought for Reverend Warren to do the Lord's Prayer in a crowd that has a million different religions, or maybe three, you know, I felt like that was a little too much. And he's just a badass. That's
it was also pretty lazy. It was also pretty lazy. I was really surprised that he ended with the Lord's, with Our Father, because that's so crazy lazy. Yeah.
I agree with you exactly.
So what are you gonna do? Are you coming back to Chicago tomorrow, or are you gonna like?
Tonight is this big gay event that we're getting trashed at, and it's interesting. The lesbians are all wearing high heels, so they're slowing down traffic. they're struggling, and Melissa Etheridge is about to come up, and I get to introduce her because I work with Lambda, and they're letting me, and then. After that, tomorrow we'll probably be recovering from our night, and then Thursday morning I'll be home.
Fabulous.
I'll be in your studio.
Well, we look forward to getting you on the show in person. Thank you so much for calling us and taking a moment out of the festivities to talk to us.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank
Bye,
you, Jim.
Safe travels.
So that is Jim Bennett, and he's speaking to us live from Washington, D.C. during the inaugural events. And that is the Feast of Fools.
I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to remind you that today's show was brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net. Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky post. That's gay, sexy, healthy. Hit the sweet spot, LifeLube.org.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And the music featured on today's show is the music of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Pick it up. Wow. Lay it in the cut from her album, Dap Dapping. It's available on our website, feastoffools.net. Support fabulous music. Buy it through us. Give us a little kickback.
Cameron, we wish you a bon voyage.
Oh, gentlemen, such a pleasure.
And it's I want you to come back on the show so as soon sad. As you get back.
I know, okay. We won't get to hear from you for a while, but you'll send in little messages
I'll
from
see you.
Around the
I
world.
I will. I'll send in messages, and I'll see you in March. Face to face.
Love
to
you. Face. I love the listeners, and today is a day to celebrate and rejoice. Remember that we count on your contributions and your comments. So go to our website, feastoffools.net, and weigh in on your thoughts. What are your thoughts? What is your reflections and insights on the inauguration and the becomingness of President
Obama.
Record
it for history. Come to our site and record your thoughts.
I'm Fausto Fornos.
I'm Mark Billion.
And I'm Cameron Esposito.
Bye, everybody.
Have a great night.